Hello, everyone, and welcome to Friday Food Fight, where we are defining the daily struggle to keep food safe. I am your host, Wes Christian, and each week we will be interviewing special guests from across the country who are doing amazing work in the food service industry. So sit back and enjoy this special episode brought to you by Food Handler Solutions and School Food Handler. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Friday Food Fight. My name is Wes Christian, your host for this week, and I'll be joined once again by Bart Christian, nationally recognized speaker, who I'm actually going to turn the floor over to for our introduction for our very special guest this morning. So, Bart, why don't you tell everyone who we're going to be speaking with?
Well, Wes, it's great to be here, and it's my pleasure to introduce Miss Becky Swan. I've known Becky for quite a long time, and we've met at various SNA events, and one of the things a lot of people don't know about Becky is Becky just got married not too very long ago, and she's got a beautiful young man who's her son that's named Alex, and I think you got a couple of kids with Dusty as well, right, Becky?
Dusty has a son also, so we've got Alex, he's 15, and then we've got Lincoln, who is 11.
Now, well, you can give Wesley a lot of advice on the raising boys, because he's got an almost two-year-old, and they're expecting their second boy in a few months. So I know that's going to be a trial. I had a boy and a girl, so I had one of each.
Just never expect to have a clean house again for at least the next 15, 16 years.
See, I've already embraced that with just the one. And so when we found out we were having a second boy, I mean, obviously I was just thrilled, but the second thought after, thank God it's a healthy baby boy, was I'm never going to have a clean house again. And I might never have a full pantry again.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. So Becky, you've been with PCS Revenue Control Systems for 10 years, right?
Yep.
10 years. And what's your current title with PCS?
I'm the National Sales Director at PCS now.
That's what I thought. I thought you were the head honcho. That's what I want to make sure. And I know that you know, a couple of things that I know about you is you're very passionate about child nutrition. You're very passionate about and make sure that people understand that child nutrition staff really are heroes. And the interesting thing that I think we found out in looking at your Facebook group that you started, School Nutrition and Industry Professionals, which I got to tell you on my behalf has been a wonderful resource, because every time I have a question from an industry perspective, I can post it there and just get a flood of really good information back from some very wise people that are a lot smarter than I am. And I appreciate that. But I know you share that passion with child nutrition. Would you agree that now that, you know, I guess this time last year, people knew of child nutrition, but I've always said that it was one of the most underappreciated groups in the school district. Would you agree that that has completely got changed on its head now? That child nutrition, yeah, I mean, what kind of comments are you hearing from directors regarding their status now in the district versus before?
People are definitely paying more attention. You know, I think that when children were in school on a regular basis and everything was just normal, they take for granted that lunch is going to be served and breakfast is going to be served, and the people doing it are people that matter as well. And I think now that we've had to deal with the distance learning at the end of last school year and throughout the summer and everything as well, and delivering the meals and just seeing everything that goes into it, you know, I think that they definitely have more support from the administrative departments within their districts. I've seen that across the board. And, you know, looking to the future and this coming up school year, I'm seeing more support from the administrative departments across the board as well. You know, and it's important for them to keep that conversation going and to stay on top of it and not let themselves be brushed aside anymore. You know, they depend on us to feed the children, so they need to pay attention to what we need, and let's work together and be a team. And I'm seeing much more of that just across the nation.
Yeah, the thing I'm hearing a lot too is that parents who were giving school nutrition departments grief are now suddenly giant fans, because they didn't realize the quality and the breadth of food that was being provided on a daily basis. All they heard was their kids go, I didn't like lunch today. But now right. now they're actually seeing it, and they're going, why don't you like this? This is good stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. That makes all the difference in the world. It's easy to, what do you call it? An armchair quarterback.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You can talk about it all day long, but until you see it for yourself and you're there doing it, they have no clue. So that has definitely been one of the positives of all of this, is getting more community involvement and having people understand more.
Well, take it away, Wes.
So Becky, tell our viewers a little bit about PCS and what you all do, and then kind of a follow-up to that, how has the pandemic that we're all living through right now affected technology companies as a whole?
Sure, thank you. So PCS, we are a school nutrition software company. We only work with school nutrition departments across the United States, and we do everything that they can consider using a computer, from back of the house, inventory management, menu planning, to special diet management, making sure that the kids that have special dietary needs get their own special menus. We do the point of sale, pre-introduced app processing. Before everything went crazy, we had our collections assistant module to help them collect on the bad debt, because there were districts, and there still are districts, with hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt that, people haven't paid for their lunch accounts. So we created a program specifically for that. And then the latest thing that we've been working on is our pre-order program for ordering meals in the classroom. And then at the very beginning of the COVID, we offered a free software to anyone that wanted to use it, whether they use PCS for their point of sale or not. And that was PCSfeedthekids.com, where they could go in and keep up with their summer meals, the tallies, and help with the reporting and the claims reimbursement and everything. So basically, if you can use a computer for it in a cafeteria, we've got a program to help you run it.
Awesome. Very cool. And now, from your experience, how has the pandemic affected technology companies across the board, specifically POS companies, but anything that you've heard from other industry partners?
Sure. So everything that I've been seeing lately is people want to go touchless. Everybody's kind of concerned and confused. And I think maybe two or three districts that I've talked to have an actual plan for how they're going to start back up in the fall. Are they going to continue distance learning? Are they opening the brick or mortar buildings? How they're going to open and what they're going to do. So technology is going to play a huge part in keeping things sanitary. They don't want kids typing in their numbers anymore on a keypad. They want to be able to scan a barcode or, any other kind of entry that they can do. So we've been seeing a lot of that. So seeing a lot of mobile feeding stations, mobile tablets, instead of having your stationary point of sale line where they come through and, they're at the regular line. We have to be able to be mobile and go to the children, which those are things that we've been doing for years with different things, food trucks and breakfast in the hallways and different things. So now it's just ways to adapt what we have to what everyone is doing. So, the technology's kind of been there. It's just adapting it to the scenario that works for each individual district.
Now, you mentioned that you have been providing these different tools for years. Have these been tools that you've seen just flying off the shelf for years, or have they been things that people have maybe been hesitant towards buying until now?
They have definitely been things that people have been hesitant towards buying, like the keypads, for example. Children have entered their numbers by pressing a keypad for years. They're used to it. It's always worked. So scanning barcodes, yeah, that's great and, very helpful. And there are a lot of districts that already did it. But I've probably quadrupled my sales in barcode scanners just in the last 60 days. Because what went from, one district doing this because it's convenient and they really like it, to now everybody is searching for this technology that we've had for a long time, but it's now practical for them, and they need it, and they have justification of why they need to spend the money on it.
Now, how have you seen your marketing plan change with these new programs that you're seeing that are being much more sought after? How's the marketing for those shifted in the past couple of months to make them a little bit more clearly available?
So we at PCS, we do not spend a ton of money on marketing. We're not one of those companies that's going to have, $10,000 sponsorships of different things, because we would rather spend that money towards developing our product and getting a good quality product to our customers. So a lot of our marketing efforts are organic. We do a lot of, constant contact emails that talk about the things that we're offering and try to make sure that's happening. I've got a small sales team that we have, every one of them has their own individual territory. So they've been calling on their customers, of course, the customers first. For the first March, April, May, my instruction to my sales team was, we're not trying to sell anything right now. Nobody needs to buy anything right now. We need to let our customers know that we're there to help them right now. Mm-hmm. So, the deal with that was they're supposed to have called on all of their customers. And of course there were people working from home, so the phone wasn't the best place. So start with a phone call, follow up with an email, and just let them know that we're here for them. And then when things start to come back to normal, tell them what we have. And, I didn't really want, I don't want to say I didn't want to sell anything, because I kind of like my job, but it wasn't about that. It's about helping them. Child nutrition is really a relationship business, and to build that relationship, it has to be sincere, and it has to be all the time, not just when it's convenient. So that's the direction I sent my team in.
So Becky, can I ask you a follow-up question to that? And that's this. Now, I know that, School Food Handler, just like PCS, has been giving away a tremendous amount of information and tools over the last 3 months. And we started the day after the first school shutdown. And I know that I've seen the tool that you all are offering, which is tremendous. And I've been on your website and looked at things that you've got. And you were talking earlier about, it's not the right time to go start selling again. Mm-hmm. But if you've got a product or you got a service that you absolutely know that they're looking for, because when we troll the same Facebook groups, and you read the comments, and I read comments all the time about where can I find this, where can I find that? And I know that I can answer some of those questions. I know you can answer some of those questions.
Right.
My question basically is this: when do we go back and start talking to them? And how do we start and go about that conversation without seeming salesy, but yes, knowing that we've got something to help them?
Right. Well, that's definitely something you mentioned, scrolling the comments and reading and looking what's out there. We have taken our cues from our customers. If we're talking to them, if we're in constant contact with them, and we're letting them know that we're there for them when they get ready, they're giving us those cues. And when we're having those conversations, we are talking about, we do have this pre-order model available for you. We're working on this. This is, and there we're having meetings now almost daily with different customers within their organizations of, okay, this is our goal. How do we get there? So it's really just, it's taking our cues from our customers. I'd say probably mid-May, we started ramping up the constant contact emails, talking about the touchless solutions and everything. So really May and June, and now into July, we've kind of gone back to the normal selling status, but it's just, we take our cues from our customers. I'm not that car salesman person. I don't want to be either.
What about prospecting?
Prospecting has definitely slowed down a lot. We have started making those calls again. But again, we're relying more on email because people's schedules are so off right now. You don't have people in the office every day. So what are the chances you've got their cell phone number or that they've got their office phone forwarded to home? So a lot of it is done electronically through email.
Mm-hmm. Now, Becky, when you are looking at kind of the future for technology companies, specifically, what have you guys done in the past in regard to onboarding new customers? And how do you see the training process for technology products shifting or modifying in the future?
Okay. So in the past, we've always, it's always been a hands-on model. We would go out, we would, set up the computers for our customers. We would do trainings in classrooms and, computer labs, have everybody there together. A lot of what we're seeing now, especially our home office is based in New Jersey. So that was one of the initial hotspots. So we cut the travel almost as soon as this started, as far as going on site to train people. So we're doing a lot more things electronically. We have webinars, we have GoToMeetings, Zoom has become very popular, but we've been doing GoToMeetings for a long time. And it's the same type of thing where we're just able to share screens and walk through and show, it's definitely, you miss that human element when you're doing everything through the computer. It's good to be able to give somebody a hug and gosh, I haven't seen you in so long. Yeah. But we do, we do what we have to do to be able to do it. So right now it's a lot of the GoToMeeting trainings, and we create videos and how-to documents and just try to put the information there at their fingertips as they need it. We have an online resource that our customers can sign into to get access to basically every training manual that we've ever written, so they can go on and see past webinars and different recordings and things. So we try to have that library of information available to them.
Right. Now, what type of advice? Obviously, there's a lot of technology options out there. And I think that after the pandemic and the growing need for additional resources that are either remote or technology-based, we're going to see a lot more people start getting into the game as well. What advice would you give to a school nutrition director that's trying to find the right fit for their department, for their employees, with all of the options that there are? How would you recommend them really sorting through all the information to find the right fit?
There's a ton of information out there. And, you know, I've been seeing it more and more in RFPs over the last year where people are asking for things and sometimes they don't even know what they're asking for. They're just putting stuff in there because the district that wrote this RFP before did it and the district that wrote the one before it did. And so they're all using the same thing. So my advice would be to really sit down and think about your operation, and maybe you want to sit down with a consultant. You know, think about your needs and what you need to have to make that happen. You know, you might not want something with as many different choices. It might be overwhelming. And that's one of the things that I've seen as far as implementations go as well. You know, you have districts and they see all of these things and they think, oh my gosh, I can do this and I can do that and I want to do all of this. But then when it comes down to actually implementing it, it's, you know, it's time consuming, it's training, it's different things. So you really need to evaluate what you actually want the outcome to be, and then find the program that can match that outcome, not the one with the most bells and whistles. Bells and whistles don't matter if you're not going to use them. Get the one that's going to be solid. And at the end of the day, the most important thing is training. You could have the best software in the world. If you don't take the time to do the correct amount of training and make sure that your people understand it, it's worthless. So definitely don't go cheap on training. Don't, you know, and I see a lot of that too with RFPs. People, okay, well, we can get by with 5 days of training. How? How can you train 1,000 managers in 5 days? You can't do it, you know, for bigger districts or whatever. It's just, it's not possible. So don't skimp on the training. Make sure you know what you're asking for. And at the end of the day, you want to work with someone that you can trust, someone that you trust to take care of you. It doesn't matter what software it is. There are going to be issues. So be open and honest and communicate and let people know what you need, because you can't fix what you don't know is broken. But make sure that you have that communication line open and that it's someone that you trust is going to answer the phone every time you need to talk to somebody. So that's those are the biggest things I say to look for.
Yeah, we did the program last week, was Wes and I did on implementation and manage and change. And one of the things that, you know, one of the things we did with our company is when we developed it, we built it towards the laggards. We built it towards the people that were going to be the last ones to implement. We made it simple and easy and made it so that it was easy. And it had all the bells and whistles, but they weren't built in on the front end. And we found that to be very effective when we just exactly what we're saying. And when we focused all our training to the laggards too. Mm-hmm. We didn't, you know, the quick implementers are going to get it fast. Right. But if you focus everything on the people that you know are going to be resistant, mm-hmm. then you're going to have a much better chance of success. And I see so many people, they want to focus on the people that they know are going to get it fast. And then they mm-hmm. drag the other ones along. And that tends to take the longest time, in my opinion.
It does. It does. Mm-hmm. The path of least resistance is always the easiest. So, mm-hmm. you know, definitely. Well, and you know the people within your districts as well as,
oh, yeah.
you know, as a director. You know who's going to be kicking and screaming and I don't want to do this. And mm-hmm. getting their buy-in from the beginning definitely is helpful. And, you know, have them included in the process so they exactly. feel like they have an ownership in the change that's mm-hmm. occurring.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I really do believe in the simplicity. You know, the further along or the further down the road that we get with, you know, Southwest Train or with a school food handler and Food Handler Solutions is, you know, the easier to use product that you can create for the customer, the better off you're going to be.
Right.
You know, I see so many people that create these super complex programs and people get overwhelmed. And then ultimately the training that you mentioned a second ago that is required to get your staff on board never happens because it's such a daunting task. And it just seems like there's so much to train on that they never start. And if they never start, then they're never going to use the product.
Right.
You mentioned touchless technology a little bit earlier. I'd love to dive into that just a little bit more with you. I know you mentioned there's a lot of tools out there at the moment, but what do you see on the horizon as maybe being potential opportunities for technology companies in that touchless world?
So there's definitely opportunities within the hardware sector, for feeding in the classrooms, mobile tablets. It's very important when they're thinking about getting mobile tablets to make sure there are USB connections on them. Does it have to be carried around with a base? You know, how are we going to connect a peripheral to it? Am I going to connect a handheld scanner? Is it one that I have to pull the trigger on every time, or is it constantly on? You know, that's what I see, and that's what my customers have been picking up on, really, is the mobility being something that they can pick up and take around with them. And, you know, we've got the labels that print out for the trays. They can put on the trays. So as they're distributing in the classroom, just scan the tray right there, and it's accounted for in the point of sale. There are also other options that don't even require a scanner, you know, roster modes within your point of sale. Take it on a tablet, open it up, there's your roster mode, and account for the children in bulk at one time, but still keeping it separate so you know who got what. And then, but definitely the curbside, it's going to be important to have mobility. You need to be able to take something outside and scan as you're giving things out, because it's going to be entirely too much to have to flip through spreadsheets or, you know, go through and check off boxes, different things. So definitely.
Well, I was talking to a director yesterday to speak to the curbside. And I mean, obviously we don't really know what this upcoming school year is going to look like across the country. I think every district is planning on doing something different or some variation of different serving ways. I was talking to one director the other day, though. It was actually yesterday. And they had mentioned that their plan is to input all of the meals that are served every 5 days. So once a week, input all the food that they serve out of the buses and the drive up and the curbside all at once. Do you see any solutions that are out there at the moment to assist with that kind of on the go or on the fly as maybe like a mobile POS?
So there's definitely mobile POS available. The problem that you're coming up with there, though, is that you're serving for multiple days at one time. So USDA has never really allowed us to do this before. So, I can't speak for the rest of the software companies, but I know for PCS, that's because that's never been allowed with USDA before. You know, multiple days, you can't give to, you know, ring up 5 days at one time for a child, especially when those days haven't occurred yet. So that's something that we're really working on the back end. We've created a workaround for one of our districts to be able to, you know, import and do just magic in the background. I don't want to get into all of the nerdy stuff on the show, but, things that we can do in the background to make sure that it's happening. But that is definitely something that technology companies are dealing with right now. Is how to get multiple deals at one day through the National School Lunch Program. You know, when we're working over the summer, over out of summer feeding or SSO, it's easy then because it's just counts and it doesn't matter. And you can say, I did this many for this days and put it in. But having to actually attach it to a child with the National School Lunch Program is going to make it tricky for everyone. So.
What about buses? That's the thing that I've seen with bus delivery. I got a big question on this. Obviously, sometimes you don't have connectivity. You don't have. Is the question I got specifically about buses is there a particular kind of unit, a particular kind of tablet, a particular kind of like there's iPads, Androids, everything in the world. Is there something that you would recommend from a tablet perspective for a bus?
So really, the tablets, they just need to have internet connectivity, and depending on the program that you're using, like with the PCS program, we're able to work in offline mode. So it doesn't actually have to be connected to the internet at any given time. It stores the information in the browser. So as they're ringing it up, and then once you take it back and reconnect it, it'll sync all of that information back up there. So the connectivity doesn't necessarily have to be constant, as long as there's an initial connection to download the data into the browser, save it in the cache, and then you can go out and still distribute and not worry about the internet going in and out.
Now, what do you think let me rephrase that question. What do you think software technology will look like when the whole pandemic is over?
You know, there are so many questions about that. I have no idea. I know, the big thing right now is universal free meals. That's what everybody's pushing for. And this could be the opportunity to make it happen. They keep extending these waivers for the summer feeding, and now we can feed off-site, and now we can feed multiple days at one time. And they're really, understanding that this is a need that needs to be filled. The future of technology, there's so many different directions that it could go in. We've always done everything account-based, So are we going to be able to go in, and just do bulk counts? Or, is everybody going to be like a CEP? Are we still going to have to do the free and reduced applications every 4 years to see if they qualify? What's the, what's the process? There's so many unknowns right now. We kind of just have to be prepared for everything.
And do you foresee things going back to, I guess, the way things were before at the end of this at some point? Or do you think that these changes that software companies are implementing are here to stay?
That's really hard to say. I think that a lot of the changes are going to be here to stay. I think that we're going to see a hybrid model for a long time, where you've got people doing things the old way and then people doing things the new way. And I think that there's always going to be a need for something. What it is, that's the question. But I think that the touchless options is going to stick around. I mean, that just makes sense. Why spread germs when you don't have to? Especially if you've already taken the time to implement it. I think that, the hardware situation is going to stay the same. I think the software on the back end, that's what the question is, what are we going to have to do? And the answer is whatever USDA tells us we have to do. That's what all of us will do, I'm sure. So one way or another.
Well, the touch-free, the scanners, the bar scanners, that'll stay. It's not gonna go, because people that are implementing that, once they implement that, they're gonna love that, even when all this is over with, because it's so much quicker, it's time efficient, it's one less thing to have to clean. And I could see that staying around for a long time. But I think there's so many things that we don't know right now, that until there's some kind of therapeutic or some kind of vaccine that's going to make people feel comfortable, this is going to be with us for a while.
Absolutely. And I mentioned earlier that the technology had been around for a long time as far as the barcode scanning and different things like that. And you've always had excuses for the ones that didn't do it. Oh, well, the kids won't be able to keep up with their cards. The teachers don't want to have to do this. And it's always just been a training mindset. So once you if you start teaching them now, this is how it is and this is what we have to do, then they're going to know that this is the way of things. And it's just getting people over the I can't, they won't hurdle, And that goes back to getting the buy-in. And now it's kind of been pushed on everybody. You don't really have a choice, so it's the perfect time to make those changes.
Well, it's a big why now. It's a big why. People sometimes don't move on, unless they have a big why, they don't move on what makes perfect sense, because they
Right.
just can't put the pieces together in their head. But we've given them a pretty big why now to make
Right.
some changes.
Absolutely.
Well, in the last couple of minutes here, Becky, is there anything that you'd like to leave people with? Bart, same question to you.
I don't really have anything, I guess. Just stay positive. Change is inevitable. We're all in this together. Work with your industry partners, work with your customers. Everybody's in this together. We don't have to have all the answers. We just have to be willing to figure it out. So, that's all. Stay positive and we'll get through it.
I couldn't agree more. Just protect your attitude, protect the attitude of the people around you. Be light, be salt and light in other people's lives, because that's what we need. And there's so many people walking around now that are glum and anxious, that it's I don't think it hurts every now and then to pull your mask down real quick and give them a quick smile and throw it back up, because
Right.
I think that's what we need. And I miss seeing people's bright shining faces and their smiles. And I think we need to share that as much as we possibly can whenever we can.
Yep,
That's it.
absolutely. Joe
That's it.
Pettit posted something today in one of the Facebook groups about you don't have to see a smile. If it's a real smile, you can feel it. And that's
Amen.
true. You can feel
That's
it.
it.
When somebody's happy and smiling around you, and you can see it in the eyes as well. So positivity is always a good thing for sure.
Well, thank you both. Great advice. And we look forward to having you back on the show, Becky. Bart, always good to see you.
God bless you all.
And we'll see you guys very, very soon. Everyone, this has been another episode of Friday Food Fight. My name is Wes Christian, and we'll see you again here next week at 12 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Y'all take care.